This episode is sponsored by It Ends With Us.
Based on the global best-selling phenomenon by Colleen Hoover, this captivating, faithful adaptation of the book is the movie of the summer.
Blake Lively stars as Lily Bloom, a woman embarking on a new life in Boston after overcoming a traumatic childhood. A chance meeting with the charming neurosurgeon Ryle sparks an intense connection, but as they fall in love, Lily begins to see sides of Ryle that remind her of her parents' problematic relationship.
When Lily's first love, Atlas, re-enters her life and her relationship with Ryle is upended, Lily realizes she must rely on her own strength to make an impossible choice for her future.
A Colleen Hoover book is always a good book, and I cannot wait to see this story brought to the screen. It Ends With Us is only in cinemas from August 9th.
The global phenomenon, It Ends With Us.
We all have an idea of what love can be.
Is finally here.
If you had a daughter,
what would you say to her?
Starring Blake Lively.
We break the pattern, or the pattern breaks us.
It Ends With Us. Only in cinemas August 9th.
Is that restaurant with that chef? Go on in then. Because we've got a table with your name on it.
Starters, table 4, moving.
And when you tuck into your tuna tostada and salsa verde.
Your starter, sir.
Followed by chicken quesadilla, then mango cheesecake.
Ooh.
Enjoy savings off your bill. With Amex offers, perks are pretty tasty. That's the powerful backing of American Express.
18 plus, subject to status. Enrollment required. T's and C's and eligibility apply.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we just love to discuss. I'm Yael Brovs, I'm Ronnie, that's Ben. Hello, Ben, welcome to your show.
Hi, Ronnie, how are you?
Good, what's going on with you today, baby?
Well, you know, I have exciting news. I made a guest appearance on a podcast yesterday.
Oh?
I can finally say what it is.
What is it?
The podcast is gonna drop tomorrow. Well, actually, first, the two of us were on Ryan Bailey's podcast, So Bad It's Good.
It'll also drop tomorrow, Thursday. Yeah.
That drops tomorrow. But the podcast that I went on to, that will also be out tomorrow, so there's a lot of stuff for people to listen to. Well, some might say that when you see this podcast, it's almost like you're looking in a window and that podcast is on a little pedestal. Almost as if it were on display, on display, on display, each and every day, every day.
You went and visited the Gorgos. How did it go?
It was really fun. She was so nice. And we just sort of talked about New Jersey, et cetera. And, you know, she's not allowed to talk about, you know, what's happening, like in terms of like where it's going or future stuff. But I definitely was able to ask her some interesting questions about the dynamics there. And we talked about Jackie and Marge and all that good stuff and the season. And she was very, very complimentary about our podcast. I was like, why am I on here? Like, we're so mean to you. And she was like, I just think it's funny. Like you guys are like so mean, but like in a way that's like funny. And she was like, you know, when I was listening to the NB fashion show recap, I was like giggling. And I was like, we made fun of your fashion show and like, you don't even make the clothes. And she was like, no, I know. But like, that's what was so funny about it. Just like really funny. And I was like giggling. So she was really nice. And
well, that's good. Why do I advise just stop listening to us, please. Thanks for coming by. Now go away. Well, you're not allowed to listen to this stuff. No cast members allowed. Clear the room of cast members, please.
Well, you know what's funny is that at first I was like, this is going to be so awkward because we have talked so much shit about Melissa and Joe and just everyone. And then I was like, you know what? I guarantee there's nothing that we've said that comes close to the vile things that all these people say to each other and about each other at all times. So like us making fun of Envy, that's just like the same as like asking Melissa if she wants a coffee. I just think it just doesn't even faze the people on New Jersey anymore.
Well, that's true. Yeah. And we have to remember like housewives rules, you know, like they've learned to get over things. They're trained, you know, like when people go in the army and they never get to sleep. So whenever they get a chance to sleep, they can go to sleep like within 10 seconds. Have you ever heard that? Yes. That's always fascinated me. But I think that's how housewives are. They're just like, oh, it's time to forgive now. I forget. Yeah, like they can just move on, you know? I mean, of course, Melissa's probably not the best example of that since this whole season is based on not forgiving. So maybe the current Jersey cast is not the best to reference with Army sleeping, but you get it.
Yeah, but it was really fun. And so if you're curious about that, check out On Display with Melissa Gorga. Who knows when this episode you are listening to it, but it is airing tomorrow, is dropping tomorrow, July 25th, which also... is my brother's 50th birthday. So everyone wish my brother Dan a very big birthday tomorrow.
Wow. Dan is so on display right now. Okay.
He's on display with Melissa Gorga.
Yes. We also did a bunch of Love Island recaps over on Patreon for our bonus. So if you want the season finale of that, go over to Patreon. Also, that's where you get our videos and all of our bonus recaps. Thanks for joining us on Patreon. We love you guys. And now let's get into the Real Housewives of Dubai.
Dubai. I'm gonna make it my quest to say Dubai as annoyingly as possible. Dubai. Dubai.
Okay, so we open at Stanbury and Sergio's house, and she's like, I can't imagine what the house looks like downstairs. I can't imagine, because we have just come out of the big fight episode with Brooks and Tanine causing a ruckus in Stanbury's new cement box home in Dubai, where the police could have come and thrown all the women in jail for having the nerve to speak loudly with drinks inside of them.
Yes. So Stan, they're on their mattress on the floor, and Stanbury yawns and goes, and I'm sorry, Sergio yawns, and then Stanbury yawns. She goes, infectious. And he goes, oh, infection? Infection? No, infectious, darling, you imbecile. God, we can't even get 3 seconds into the morning without you saying something idiotic.
But you said infection, baby. No, I said infectious. All right. Fucking Marone. Moron? Oh, you're right. God, stupidity is infectious as well. Give me some coffee, please. So the lady comes in with her coffee and she's like, well, it was so nice showing the house to everyone. You know, listen, I don't know anyone with a house like this, all right? I mean, chevron on the ground. Boy toy husband trying to yell at women. Chips in the marble. Oh my God, I forgot about the chips in the marble. Please get up and put your finger over the chip. I can't look at it.
Hold on, I'm going to look at the ring cam of our downstairs because it's so beautiful. And oh my goodness, it looks like some street urchins have broken in. There's small people there very close to my sofa. Can someone get security? Apatani, those are your children. No, I'm pretty sure I don't have any children. No, honey, those are your children. Are you sure? Do I actually have three little children and they live here in this house? Is that possible? No, Sergio. Delusion is infectious right now.
So she's like, no one has a home as gorgeous as this. That's why when Brooks walked in my home last night with Sage, he's like, oh my God, I don't even want to go there, baby. Do not make me go there. Hold on. Here's, I'm going there. I'm reliving last night. Let me at her. Let me at her. I'll kill her. I'm the man of the house. Sit the fuck down, Sergio.
Sit down. Baby, the whole party was a mess. At the end, they were like fighting like children, and they cannot do that, honey. They cannot do that. She goes, well, my children behave better. Just look at them on the ring cam. Oh my goodness, they almost spilled on the sofa. Never mind, all children are bad.
My children behave better. At least I've heard. I've been given reports. I haven't really read the reports. Fortunately, I haven't had any children around to read them to me. It's really a conundrum, isn't it?
I need to really find a boarding school for them. So she's like, yeah, you know, Brooks and Talene were fighting like they were on a playground. It's like, yes, like a playground. It was absolutely crazy. Quiet. This is my musing, not yours.
Please stop trying to steal my flashback. So then we see the flashback of them like, and then Talene with her cigarette and her heart crop top being like, oh yeah, I'm the beggar. You're the beggar. You wore my clothes the entire last season, bitch. Which is pretty good. So then Stanbury is like, Brooks came with a mission to cause drama. How is this a healed human? Apparently it got way worse on my doorstep, so I'm sorry to all my neighbors. But on the brighter side, my sofa is still white, and that's really all I care about.
So Stanbury's like, well, I understand where poor Rafi, because like his buttons were absolutely pushed. Poor Rafi. And he's like, oh yes, Rafi is like a piece of bread. He's the nicest human ever.
Like, well, he's gonna be like a piece of bread banned from my home if he ever acts like that again.
I didn't know that was the some sort of analogy. Oh, like a piece of bread, the nicest person ever.
I think like at the end of the day, who doesn't love bread? You know, I think it's actually a very apt description. It's like that person's like bread. Some people can try not to have it around. Some people can say they're allergic to it, but everybody likes it. There's nobody alive that's like, I don't like bread. And if they do, they're a goddamn liar.
And let me tell you something, what's adorable. A cartoon piece of toast. You know, a cartoon piece of toast that comes walking around and it's square, but the top of it's like round and it has a nice smile on its face. And it's just like never really accepted by the other cartoon items that are there. Gotta love a cartoon toast.
Yeah, I love a cartoon toast. Everybody loves bread. Even when bread is stale, it's a crouton. I mean, like bread is never bad.
Today. I had a stale bagel for breakfast.
I love a stale bagel. Yeah, they're like nice and crunchy on the outside and like kind of chewy on the inside. Well, no, usually crunchy as well on the inside. Listen, if you're going to break your tooth, that's the way to break it.
Yeah, truly. So anyway, bread, the nicest people in the world are like pieces of bread. Just so you know, that's from Sergio. So Stember's like, well, everybody should have kept it for the next day, just like a true piece of bread.
And he's like, baby, I'm not sorry about that, honey. And she's like, fact. And he's like, oh, no, it's Brooks's fault, 100. And she's like, well, they all owe me an apology as far as I'm concerned. Everyone. Even the couch for scaring me like that.
And especially you, Sergio, for just taking up my space in this bed. But you know what? Will I get it? Probably not. No. So I have to go eat and pray. I've got to go to this eat, pray, party part.
Please don't go. I miss you.
Sergio, please. I have don't to go. Me. It's in Bali.
No, please.
Sergio, please. Sergio, stop clinging onto my arm.
Please, don't
Sergio,
go.
You're
please.
Making red marks on my skin.
Please. Daddy.
Oh, God. Now you're reenacting Hope Floats. Please don't do this again, Sergio. I've got to be able to at least go shopping.
Valentina, please bring in the model of the vagina so we can study it while I'm away. Thank you.
Please bring in the cutout of Sandra Bullock for him to hold on to while I try and pack.
Honey, no. Don't leave me, honey. Honey, no, please, don't go.
Sergio, I'm leaving. I have to eat. I have to eat, pray, party with these crazy people in Bali.
Please, no.
I've got anxiety.
What am I going to do, honey? You know how hard it is, right? You know how hard it is. What am I going to do without my mother figure who I'm fucking right now?
I'm going to go to the mother figure I'm not fucking.
Who? That's disgusting.
My mother. My actual mother.
Here's an idea. While I'm gone, you can take care of these alleged children that are running downstairs in the foyer. So she says, you know, Bali is going to be the first trip I've done really on my own without Sergio. And the last trip that I did, Sergio rode up on a jet ski crying and weeping and asking for a hug. It was awful.
You know, he doesn't like to do anything without me. He can't even masturbate alone, really. It's disgusting. He saw a picture the other day of a double loo. He said, we need one of those. Horrifying. A double loo? Nobody needs that. Literally nobody needs to poop back to back. Are they side by side or back to back?
I don't know, but I would never be able to poop comfortably if Caroline Stanbury were on the next toilet over.
Yeah, nobody needs it in general, especially nobody needs it with Caroline Stanbury. I don't even think Caroline Stanbury does poop. And you know, I don't like talking about poop, but I feel like just tiny, like little pebbles of coal come out, like a rabbit-sized poop. And it just like clanks to the bottom of the bowl, like when you throw a penny in.
But you never hear it because she covers it up by berating you. You're absolutely filthy. The sounds coming out of your buttocks are the most horrific things I've heard since Sergio tried to describe the female anatomy.
Sergio just makes a poop and it's like, disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Uh, So anyway, we now go
squeeze
one day.
Squeeze, what? hold it, squeeze it, push. She's like controlling your poof like she did the driver that season of Ladies of London. Push it. No, bring it back in a little bit. Bring it. Hook left. It. Hook shape. Forward. All right. You failed the hook shape. Forward. Squeeze. Push. Pull. It's like, oh my God, my butt can't do all of this.
She also would torture Sergio with the bidet.
Oh, Caroline, am I done pooping yet?
Not yet.
Psst. Ah, Caroline. No, please don't do it again.
There's Sergio up the butthole. Every time you say something stupid, you get Mr. Bidet.
Sergio, do you love me?
Yes, honey.
Put your face on the bidet. No, honey, don't make me. Do it.
Ow, honey, baby, why? Why, baby?
Because it's hilarious. So it's a day until Bali, and Sarah is, she's packing, she's looking through all her clothing, and Chanel is looking through her clothing, and now Lisa, guess what she's doing? Looking through her clothing.
I like Sarah. She's looking through purses, and she holds up a snakeskin purse, and she goes, I swear, if I wear this, I will be attacked by a snake.
Will she be attacked because she looks like a snake, and this is like a snake that hates other snakes, or will she be attacked by a snake seeking vengeance?
I don't think snakes... Do snakes attack snakes? I think they attack other things, like deer and stuff like that.
Or like mice. I don't think another snake is going to be like, holy shit, there's another snake! Charge!
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It's just a lady in a fedora.
Yeah, it's like snake street fights in Bali. The snakes are coming at each other. And then, let's see, Chanel. You know, Chanel's packing the most giant clothes she can find. The most insanely giant clothes she can find. And Lisa's talking to Rich. She's like, are these giving Bali vibes, Rich? And he's like, oh, I don't really know what Bali vibes are, but I can't wait to be a good husband and take care of the children while you're away, sweet darling baby. I'm gonna think nothing of but you all the time. I don't trust him. I would leave, speaking of ring cams, leave that shit on, because Rich, there's something shady about Rich. I don't trust him, and I don't trust his teeth.
Well, maybe we should look at the coffers of Mina Rowe, make sure this CFO is doing his job. So then we go to, and then Lisa's telling us, you know, she's talking about the party and everything with Rafi and Talene and Brooks. And she's like, you know, a guy shouting at a woman is never okay. But in Dubai, where men don't even address women, this is a big deal. This is a very Islamic culture where women are put on a pedestal and treated like queens. Queens you do not talk to. To see a man shouting at a woman, it is shocking.
Women being put on a pedestal. Okay, women can drive in Dubai. And in fact, the city offers women only taxis driven by women. Until recently, Saudi Arabia was the only nation in the world that had placed a ban on women driving. Sorry, I don't know why I was thinking of that. Okay, so then we go to Talene, and she's with Raf. What's that?
Taxis driven by women for women. It's like the Lucille Roberts of driving.
Where do you want to go? Lunch with a friend. Are you sure you want to do that? It's like a housewife driving another housewife.
What if they're just all Talene? Talene does feel like she would be in another life, like a cabbie. Hey, welcome into the cab. Where are you going?
She does.
Talene. Where are you going?
Where are you going? What are you doing? You know what? I used to be a singer. I'll tell you that much. It was so much fun. But then I decided I was really in it for the kids. I'm just doing this to talk to people. I love to talk to people.
The traffic, might not be your hobby.
You can't get from South Dubai to North Dubai without waiting an hour in traffic. Am I right?
Here's my question to Talene, the cab driver, or the Uber driver specifically. Can I not be your hobby? I hate when Uber drivers tell me that. Like, oh, you know what? I'm retired. And so I started driving an Uber because I just love talking to people. Okay, I'm not paying you to do your fucking hobby. You know what I mean? Like, if this is your hobby, I expect you to pay me. I'm paying you. Shut up.
When I was an Uber driver, I would like do a few feelers because sometimes people really want to talk and you're like working for that tip, you know? So like, and that rating. So like, I would do a few things. Oh, how was your day? Da, 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 da. And then if they didn't want to talk, I just shut up. But I think that that was also like 10 years ago where like Uber drivers were a little bit more social. But I find that nowadays it's totally normal. They don't say anything. You don't say anything. You get in and, you know, Godspeed. Hopefully you don't have a chatty one, but like, I think the days, if I were to do Uber again, I just would not say a single thing to anyone.
Really? Well, you know, I'm bitchy like that, but you know, I would be the chattiest one out of everybody. I'd be like, oh my God, hi, where are you going? Oh, I've been there. Loved it. What are you going to order? Don't get the salmon. Just because you can get salmon anywhere. Why would you order salmon? I mean, really?
No, you, God, would, I wish you I... would stop. It's like going on 10 dates every single day. Like you're just, it's constantly first dates. Like, yeah. So how long have you been driving Uber? Oh, I just started a few minutes ago. Oh yeah. How long have you been driving Uber? It's over and over and over again. And then on my end, it's like, so do you live here? No, no, no. It's
no, I know. But I was a waiter. I'm and also I'm me. Yeah. So I never get past a first date. You know that. So I've had lots of first dates. Like I'm totally used to it. I was born for this. Bye.
Yeah. I'd actually met so many interesting people. There was actually one time I met someone and he was so cool. I remember I drove him from Culver City to Los Feliz and we had like an amazing conversation. And it was like the sort of conversation where it's like, we should be friends. And I remember dropping him off there in Los Feliz Village. And like, there was like this awkward moment where we almost wanted to be like, we should hang out. And then it was like, but I'm your driver and you're a passenger. And I can't be the one. I can't initiate that because that would be creepy of a driver. And he can't initiate that because that's someone who's a passenger. Na, na, na.
Uber Abbey.
I could have had.
It's like Uber Abbey with Ben upstairs, downstairs, behind the steering wheel, and really behind the steering wheel.
La, 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 la. Dizzy!
Okay.
I'm a downstairs.
So Talene and Roth are talking, and he's like, I'm exhausted. I'm embarrassed. It's never happened to me in my life before. You know, I'm a very patient person. And she's like, you're like a Buddha, honey. A Buddha. And he's like, at some point, though, enough is enough. When you, you know, like, what, well, you weren't guilty because, like, it wasn't acceptable. She's calling you fake and everything at the table. So you were a little tipsy. So what? So you didn't control your anger as much, you know? So you start giving that out. And then, you know, Brooks, and she knows how to get under your skin. And yours, too, because there you were, yelling at a woman on national TV.
So it's
make a call. Make a call right now and just say sorry. I don't care what's going on with your wife and that other lady. You look like a goddamn idiot with Chucky hair. Call that lady and say you're sorry for yelling at her on TV. Please, redeem yourself, Roth.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f-ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. Oh my gosh, you're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new Dateline, and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
My name is Georgia King, and I am thrilled to be the host of And Away We Go, a brand new travel podcast on Wondery Plus, where we'll be whisked away on immersive adventures all around the world. Where we go, what we do, what we eat, drink, and listen to will all be up to my very special guests. We've got Ben Schwartz taking us on a whirlwind trip around Disneyland. We'll eat a bowl of life-changing pasta with Jimmy O. Yang in Tuscany, Italy. And how do you feel about a spot of sugaring off with Emily Hampshire in Montreal? And Away We Go will immerse you in some of the wonders of the world.
We're going to be seeing some yellows and vibrant oranges.
And the shoes clicking against the cobblestone.
If you're looking to get somebody in the mood, have them look at the Chicago skyline.
You can listen to And Away We Go exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Georgia, do you know what joy sounds like?
I think I'm hearing it right now.
So then Talin goes, Brooks knows me very well, and she knows every button to push. After almost 10 years of friendship, I've seen a side of Brooks that I have not ever seen before. And so we come back. And
that's not true, by the way. You've seen that side of her plenty. It's just never been directed at you, so it's always been funny to you. But now that it's directed at you, it's a problem, okay? Get out of here, you hypocrite. You've enabled that for 10 years. Brooks didn't just come out of the box like that today, okay? That kind of toxicity takes marination. It takes practice. It takes hard work, the levels that that lady has gotten to. And you've been there to help create this monster, Dr. Frankenstein. Don't wuss out now. Have some pride.
All she has to do is watch season one of the show also, by the way. It's just right there on display.
Yeah, for real.
Even easier than that.
God, so, Ben, you're really going hard for Melissa Gorga now. Jeez.
So now we go back and she's like, you know what? I thought her apology to me at Ion's beauty event was a genuine apology. Clearly it wasn't, because then I hear she's calling me a beggar. Okay, Brooks says I begged her to be on the show, and that destroyed me, because that is so far from the actual truth. I did not beg her to be on the show. I merely wrote many, many emails asking, hey, when are you going to shoot next? That's it. That's all I ever did.
So I wore some cardboard around my neck that said, we'll work for a spot on Housewives. But come on. You know, we'll give you a beer for a spot on Housewives.
I don't know. What would be the... I don't know. I don't think you're supposed to say beggar anymore. You're supposed to say person currently without a purse or something.
Person who has specific requests. So, you know what? Roth and I spent a year trying to figure out if this was right for us. A year. No, we did not beg to be on this show. We spent a year saying, would this show be right for us? Write another letter to Bravo, ask them if they want to have us.
I think that she was constantly asking to be on the show. But I did read somewhere, but who knows where it's from, because all the housewives create their own press for these shows. You know what I mean? But I did read somewhere that she was supposed to be on the first season, but then wasn't, I guess. But maybe that was her who was saying it. I don't know. So anyway, she's going on about that. And basically, I mean, all this fighting about the show when the show has like five people watching it is so sad. And also, I hate that there's not many people watching it, because I really like it. People, yeah, I know I this really isn't like going to help you, so but more. You should watch it. Tell people to watch it. Come on, guys. Yeah. Okay, so then Sarah, Brooks is telling us, okay, now we're with Sarah and Brooks. I'm sorry, I got lost in our notes. So Brooks is like, oh, Packy, I feel like I saved everything for the last minute. You told me I should bring leather stuff to the sea or it's going to get ruined. So now I'm like, what am I going to pack there? What am I going to pack if it's that leather? She's like, you can't wear leather to the ocean.
I mean, who the hell wears leather to Bali? I mean, you might get attacked by a cow. So Brooks is like,
I'm wearing snakeskin purse. What if my snakeskin attacks your cow?
Well, I know. We're a day away from leaving. I was literally going to text you and tell you. I don't feel like going, because I was like, ew, you know? She goes, no, I'll kill you if you don't come. I will kill you, much like the snake was killed for my purse.
Much like you were almost killed at Caroline Stanberry's house for yelling in public. And Brooks is like, look what just happened. I mean, this girl's been one of my closest friends for years. And I just feel betrayed. I feel betrayed. I absolutely can't go. I mean, to think I would go to a party and start a fight with someone who would fight with me. And then I would follow them around the party yelling at them. And then they would still fight with me. The absolute nerve of somebody like that to treat me like that. Can you believe?
I'm only human. Okay, she's hurt me. I brought her into my inner circle of friends. Then she goes and sips Caroline's Kool-Aid. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing, even though actually I was best friends with Caroline also going into this season, which meant that I at one point also drank the Kool-Aid. But the point is, there's only enough Kool-Aid for one person. She's drinking my Kool-Aid for Caroline, and all of a sudden she's turned her back on me.
Sarah's like, let me just give you some heartfelt advice that you've probably never heard before, because only someone who could truly know you as I do and know your heart as I do could give you advice like this. I just want you to open your heart. Oh, for fuck's sake. Just check, please. Mm-hmm. Every fucking time. Like, every time. What should we do about the economy? We should feel for each other and realize that everybody is just a dollar at the end of the day. A dollar with a heart. A dollar that
Jesus Christ, Sarah. Do you have any real opinions about anything? What are her Yelp reviews like? It's like the dry cleaner. I just wanted the dry cleaner to open their spirit to me, and they did. And I've never had a cleaner coat in my life. A coat that has wrapped me in not only cashmere, but love. Actual love. Unfortunately, on the way out, we were attacked by a cashmere monster. So, but it's not really the fault of the dry cleaner. So.
Yes, many, many sheep surrounded me and bit my ankles. cashmere monster. Yeah, she is. I mean, let's not forget, this is a woman who started the season saying like, oh, you know, therapy is great, but I just, you know, got spiritually healed and it fixed everything in a second. It's like, okay, sure. I'm sure that really helped. Yeah. So, yeah, Brooks is like, wait, why am I going to be stuck? Why am I going to go and be stuck on an island? Wait, is Bali an island? Why would I be stuck on an island with a fake ass bitch like Talene? And yes, I'm not stupid. It's Indonesia, which is several islands. And what she did the other night was disgusting and unacceptable. I'm deeply hurt. Why would I ever go to a tropical paradise that's known worldwide as being one of the top beautiful tropical destinations in the entire world? Why would I ever go there? It's like, don't act like you're not going to go to Bali when you're stuck in 150 degree weather in Dubai.
Also for free. Like, let's not forget it's free. Right.
Yeah.
So then they get to go on a plane. And of course, Chanel is dressed insanely insane. Like a big, gigantic tutu dress. And then Saba's like, hello, it is me, Wacky Saba. I'm here in pajamas.
I saw Erica Jane do this on a television show, The Real Wives of Women in Beverly Hills. And it seemed like a very hilarious, funny thing. So here's my personality, pajamas.
So then, you know, everybody's just arriving and talking about, Sergio comes. Okay, so this is what happens. So Stanbury walks in with Sergio. What's wrong with me? Stanbury walks in with Sergio with all of his luggage. And she's like, he's coming. And they're like, no, no, please, no. He's like, why cannot I come? Please, please let me come. Sergio, let go of my leg, Sergio.
I tried to hide him. I tried to distract him by leaving a trail of pregnancy tests to the closet, where hopefully he would lock himself inside by accident and remain there for the next 2 weeks. But unfortunately, I happened to make a sniffer sound and he chased me out to the car. It was so close.
Oh,
so
God, close. When that didn't work, I had to make a trail of actual eggs from the car to the dumpster. And he actually followed those and put sperm on top of each one until I had to bring him back in the car. I said, Sergio, you're going to get arrested. You can't do that in this neighborhood. He said, baby, we can't leave our babies here. I had to explain to him what an actual woman's egg was like on the way to the airport. So anyway, he's here. It's neither here nor there. He's here. But at least it isn't one of the children, quote unquote, that he keeps seeing around the house.
I swear we must be haunted because I've never seen them before in my life. So Chanel's like, no, but this is a girl's trip. You cannot. No, she can't be. He can't be here. It's a girl's trip. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And he's like, okay. Hon, it's a joke. It's a joke. I'm not coming. It's like Caroline's dream comes true. I'm not coming.
Yeah. And Chanel really did get pissed off finally at that. And I felt bad for her because it was just a joke. Now you made her look like an asshole. And that wasn't fair, you know? And she's like, the only thing that is left is us putting boots on Sergio and a fucking dress, and he's one of us. It's like, well, I actually wouldn't mind. I think he'd be a good addition to this cast as a housewife. He loves to get into the shit, you know? Why not? Bring him on. I say no. we could use anything we can get at this point. Let's try it.
No, I'm actually going to Spain. These are my bags, but I'm going to Spain.
Ladies, don't tell Sergio this, but I booked him a flight to Angola. That should buy me about 6 months until he figures out a way back. So, fingers crossed.
Honey, this is for you, actually.
So you can think of me. And it's a big poster of himself with bleached hair and flip-flops. And I know that's hilarious, supposed to be hilarious, but I've given people Christmas presents with my face on them. I gave all of my family members a big giant pillow with my face on it 1 year. And can you believe not one of those people still has it on a couch? And that's why they're never getting anything again from me.
Wow. That's,
you try
that's
to bring so taste to the people. And
you know, some people just, sometimes it's, that's why it's called avant-garde, because it's before its time. And that's just what you are.
Thank you. So Caroline's like, actually, I'm pleasantly surprised it's only a poster. I actually wouldn't have put it past Sergio to get on that plane 1 hour later.
I wouldn't either. So they are going to their gates and everything, and Stanberry saying bye to Sergio. No crying, no crying. God, what a soft man.
Please don't leave me, honey. Please, baby. Tiki, tiki, baby. Please, baby. I'm the husband of the house. I'm the man of this airport, baby.
Oh, my God. Somebody just stand out there and be Sandra Bullock to comfort him. Sergio, even Sandra Bullock's leaving you now.
No, Sandra, please, no. Please, no.
I swear, I will spend the next 2 weeks with me at every single plane I see in the sky in hopes that maybe one of them has you on it. No, don't leave me, Caroline.
Sergio, you're the reason Sandra Bullock ended up on Bird Box. I thought she wanted to get away from you.
Sergio, if you were in that movie, it would be called Dread Floats, okay? Get out.
Bird Brain.
Bird Brain. Bird Brain. Stupid Box.
Okay, so Saba, they get on the plane and we get the cell phone, the housewife's cell phone footage from the plane, you know, and Saba's like, I'm asleep, asleep with my eyes closed. Isn't that hilarious? That was pajama humor.
I wonder if they have chai tea. And then now it's the morning, they're waking up and everything, they land in Bali, and Sarah's like, oh, I absolutely adore Bali. I go there all the time. It's a place to I go to disconnect, recharge, and annoy all the locals. People say the water in Bali holds a lot of positivity. So heal us, Bali. Heal us.
So now they're all wondering where Brooks is, and their car is on the way over there. Because, you know, Brooks is purposely missing this so that she makes everyone talk about her, which totally works, you know. Yeah. And Chanel goes, I'm thinking in my mind, did somebody steal her? Are the organs on the market? Did somebody steal her eyes? Because the black people stuff is very expensive because of our melanin. Like, well,
everybody's concerned for Brooks's life, but I have no concern for Brooks's life because I know that bitch can survive anywhere, and there's no way she left my house and died, because guess what I've learned after many, many years of being married to two different imbeciles? Dreams do not come true.
So they go get rooms. Their rooms are assigned. Well, they're not assigned, but they randomly pick keys, so that's how they get their rooms. And, you know, we see a private chef.
As Sarah announces, so we don't argue, we picked randomly, so it's fair. Fair, everyone. Thank you, Sarah, for picking the keys a spiritual journey. Thank you. You're doing great work.
You guys, I asked the keys to open up their hearts, and they did. I have the key to the hearts. The keys. So she's like, so basically everyone goes to their room and gets changed for dinner and all that stuff. And then,
by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. One thing that Caroline mentions that was earlier that I think we glossed over is that Caroline has a really good theory, which is that by being late, the narrative becomes, oh my God, where's Brooks? I'm actually getting worried about her. Where's Brooks? Where's Brooks? And she's like, I'm not worried about Brooks because now no one's talking about how she acted like a monster at my party. Now people are just concerned for her well-being. And it totally shifts the conversation away from her terrible behavior.
Yep, exactly. So then Sarah toasts and she's like, you know, I love toasting to hearts. Okay. Bali is so full of energy and spiritualism and souls. So I wanted to set an intention that souls will be hearts and energy will be souls of hearts. And I just want to take some time to look deep within our hearts and our souls. Cheers to souls.
If there's anyone who loves saying set an intention, it is Sarah. She loves it. So Saba turns to Talin and she's like, are you pledging on this trip that you're not going to start any drama, Talin? She's like, no. Stupid fucking bitch. Who are you anyway? I worked a year trying to get on this show and you pop up out of nowhere. This isn't right. Raph, where's Raph?
So now they are talking about Brooks still being gone. And Lisa's like, this is very odd. I did make a joke with Sarah because I know that you and Caroline have unresolved issues. And I was like, well, if they don't resolve it, I hope one of them doesn't show up. Now, unfortunately, it was the one that I liked that didn't show up, but still.
Well, I want to clear that up. Actually, on this trip, I was going to have a big scene. And Chanel goes, oh, well, I heard that you were chasing her at Caroline Stanbury's house saying, oh, where's your husband? Where's your husband? Ah, don't go there. Don't go there. When I said I don't want drama right now, that's dirty, right? That's dirty. That's dirty. What you're doing right there is dirty. I don't like it whatsoever.
First of all, ma'am, welcome to your first season. Don't come for Chanel. Are you fucking crazy? Yeah. You're lucky she's in a very good mood today. She doesn't deserve that. And you don't deserve that kind of screen time yet. You know what I mean? Make it out of the little leagues with Brooks before you try Chanel.
You're at the country, so enjoy cursing and getting into some big loud fights, okay?
Yeah. And third of all, this is Brooks to tell everybody, oh, she was chasing me around the party. Brooks was literally chasing her around the party, continually trying to trigger her because she wasn't getting enough of a reaction. So she kept chasing her around the party. So that's so Brooks to be lying about it. And I actually love it. And I actually like that Talene is here to play and she doesn't even care. She's like, well, I'm ready to fight with Brooks and she's not here. So don't even start it. Don't start it, honey.
And basically Lisa's like, yeah, I was there. I did not see her chase down Brooks whatsoever. And Sarah's like, oh, let's not have this conversation. I want to set an intention to not have this conversation because Brooks is not here, okay? As the ambassador to Brooks from Brooksland, I want to say, please, no discussion. Thank you.
Unless it's Sarah, who's literally talking behind someone's back in every scene of this show. So then Talene's like,
well, look, all I said is if she was here, I would sort it out with her. I'm not trying to open a Pandora's box, you know, okay? Tonight is a very sensitive subject for me, and everyone here knows that. Oh, my God, hold on. I feel something on my back. Oh, God. Could you cut this off? Does it say Brooks? Just cut it off. Just cut it off.
Well, thank God it's that and not another one of your stupid parachutes. So they, the chef in the middle of this, the chef wheels out a giant Parmesan wheel and starts making pasta in it. And she knows,
oh, like, God, read the room, bro. Read the room. Parmesan wheel of pasta. Who does that? The only housewife who did that believably was Kyle Richards. Do you remember when Kyle Richards looked like they just put a pile of cocaine down in front of her? She was like,
I will never forget.
I don't need that. I mean, who eats that? Like, maybe I'll have a bite. Okay, I'll have another bite. Give me another bite.
I will never forget that scene. That was an amazing scene. But these women don't have any interest in it. And Chanel's like, I don't know why Lisa arranged for us to eat Italian in Bali. We should be eating noodles.
So Talene's like, oh, I didn't even know they had Parmesan cheese in Bali. I guess there's a thing. Also, the celebrity chef, whoever it is, Lisa found him. He's so a celebrity chef. He's like, ladies, guess what we're having? Parmesan wheels. Oh, God,
I know this guy. I know who Luca is. All I know is that he lives on the second floor, and that's about it. So Stanbury tells us, look, I'll eat anything at this point, literally anything. Ideally, it will be Sergio's heart, destroy him, never have to hear him speak again, and that would be fine. So, by the way, Sarah, has your boyfriend met your parents? And Sarah's like, oh, no, you know, I want him to, you know, I want him to make it official, but I don't know when because I'm still testing, you know. And she says somewhere in here that they're taking it slow, which I think is hilarious because last episode she's like, when are you moving to Dubai?
Yeah. Stanbury's like, that's why I said to you, you need to live together. She goes, we can't do that. She goes, yes, you can. No, we can't. And Samba's like, we can't do that in our culture. I mean, we have to marry the man. We can't just live with them. And she's like, are you Arab? She's like, Pakistani. She goes, oh, God, that's the same thing. She goes, yes, it's the same thing. She's like, Talene's like, yeah, I mean, I think like living with someone like that is super important, guys. Like, you should do it. You should definitely do it. Like, I don't think you're understanding. We cannot live with the man before marriage. All right, can I just say this? And I don't want to hurt anybody's religion or anything like that. Just want to say this one word. Disgusting. All right, carry on.
I mean, how do you know if you have a giant man baby? Like, Sergio, you need to test the waters a little bit. So she goes, Sarah tells us that, like, you know, that no, that's in her culture, that they don't do that or anything like that. And then Talene's like, you guys official yet? She goes, no, not my boyfriend. and they're just going on it. And she's saying that she just wants, this is where she says, she just wants to take things slow with Akeem. And Akeem respects the fact that she wants to take her time and doesn't want to rush. She just wants him to give up his entire life in Germany and move to a foreign land for a second date. That's it.
Yeah. And then suddenly become a billionaire so he can take care of her. Commercials. Here comes one
right now. Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. We know the six wives of Henry VIII as pawns in his hunt for a son, but their lives were so much more than just being the king's wives. I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin. And we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, Even the Royals. In each episode, we'll pull back the curtain on royal families, past and present, from all over the world to show you the darker side of what it means to be royalty.
We rarely see Henry VIII's wives in their own light, as women who used the tools available to them to hold on to power. Some women won the game, others lost, but they were all unexpected agents in their own stories.
Being a part of a royal family might seem enticing, but more often than not, it comes at the expense of everything else, like your freedom, your privacy, and sometimes even your head. Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Go deeper and get more to the story with Wondery's top history podcasts, including American Scandal, Legacy, and Black History for Real.
So then Tony goes, well, so are you guys official? They're like, oh my God. It's the most frustrating people to talk to ever. They just never let it go. Caroline's like, so when are you moving in? Let me just say, listen, you shouldn't threaten to not live with somebody until you've married them. Do you see what I'm saying? You're doing it all backwards in this country. So they're like, no, it's not my boyfriend. So then Stanbury is cracking up because Chanel's laughing with a big party headpiece going, let's party, let's party. And then Stanbury kind of smacks it. And she's like, I had to do it. Absolutely had to, darling.
They're having a great time because Brooks isn't there, and they're having one of those moments where it's like, isn't it funny, like, how much more fun we have when this one person isn't here, and they're all like, it's the best, we have so much more fun without Brooks. So they're partying, they're having a great time, and Chanel's saying how, like, when she's traveling, she is not a wife or mother, it's Ion time, and so she's, like, dancing a lot and getting drunk and having a wild time.
And Lisa's like, you have a very bony vagina, because she gets a lap dance. So then they're partying and dancing. And then Stanbury is like, yes, Brooks wasn't on the plane. And we've actually had a great time. Mom's gone wild right now. It's amazing how one's energy can affect so many people. Oh, God. Why is everybody around here sobbing? Oh, God. I'm sorry. My phone's on silent, but Sergio's calling. God, amazing how that works.
They're saying on the news that there's been a massive spike of emigration from Spain. Apparently, there's a very annoying person there that's making everyone want to leave right away. They call it the Sergio effect.
Okay, so then Brooks comes walking in, like doing her slow motion model walk. They're like, why are you walking so slowly? It's slow motion, leave it alone. It's like doing her own slow motion.
She comes in and they all hug, and Talene hugs Brooks and is like, what the fuck? And Sarah's like, first of all, I wanted to kill you, like snake on snake action, you know, because I thought something really happened to you. Thank God. I'm setting an intention to say thank God right now.
I needed a minute. It was hours before I decided to go to the airport, and I was just like, you know what? I'm not going, you know, because it's just like the stress. The stress was just so high for me. But then I woke up this morning and I felt better, so I came.
And Helene's like, well, I'm happy she's alive. And I was really scared, but like, I'm also worried because everything's going to be going so well. And now Brooks is here. Like, the whole dynamic might change. I'm holding my breath.
So Stanbury sneezes and Lisa's like, who are you allergic to, girl?
Chanel goes,
sorry, Sergio. Sergio, I'm sorry.
I just had a vision of Sergio.
No matter where I go, I've still got a little dander of his on my clothing. Just can't escape it.
Sometimes I just try to sneeze out his essence.
So, what are you trying to do with your leg? Are you kicking? No, I'm trying to cross my leg. But unfortunately, when Sergio's not here, I get phantom Sergio just holding on to my leg. It's quite heavy. Help me cross this.
Honey, 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 honey.
Honey, honey, honey.
So Brooks then says, well, I just have to go because Helene's drama is not big enough for me to ruin everybody's trip. And the funny part about it is all the girls left before me for 8 hours, but we all arrived at the same time. And that's the difference between flying private and commercial. I'm like, you literally did not arrive at the same time. They've been there for hours. They went out to dinner. They've been partying. You literally came at a different time. We know you did not fly private.
No one believes that your ass flew private. I'm sorry. And she's like, oh God, she did not come by private jet. That would have been a $250,000 trip. The only jet she may have been on is economy, strapped to some wing with her bags at the back, I can assure you.
We call that Sergio class. So Brooks is then like, so you guys are getting along. And Lisa's like, yes, for one, like, so don't come around and start nothing. So they're like, okay, fun. So they dance and have fun and everything. And it's great. And they have a fun rest of the night. And now we move on to Bali day 2.
Dun, dun, dun. I like that they were all partying. They're like, let's do shots, party, party, party. It's time to go to bed, right? Yeah, let's go to bed. It's like, it just suddenly all stopped. And they were like, do we have to do this anymore? Let's go to bed. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills when they shoot footage of them like having the best time in the club, and they all go to bed, and it's only like 11:20 p.m.
So then Sarah goes to Brooks's room, and she's like, why didn't you text me, babe? I was so worried. It was like crazy. I was about to call the police and ask them to open their hearts.
You know what? I just want to address the elephant in the room so we can have a good time. So, Brooks, I just want to just reassure you that last night we set an intention. Yes, it happened. We set an intention. I know it's shocking.
She goes, oh, really? Well, has Talene apologized for being fake and a meddler and a pot stirrer? Where's that intention? Where's the intention that I got an apology? Because I missed that intention, so.
Well, since we set the intention, which we definitely set the intention about, let's set an intention to talk about the intention that we set.
I'm not going to talk about fucking intention, all right? I'm going to hold her accountable for the things that she's done. That's my intention.
100%. 100%. 100%. So then we, now they're going to go on a catamaran. And so, which by the way is like, you know, you're on the cheaper end of the Bravo spectrum when they get you a catamaran instead of a yacht. I've noticed that. Like,
yes.
In its early seasons, they get a catamaran. I feel like Dallas may have gotten a catamaran at one point, not sure. And like Vanderpump Rules gets catamarans.
And you know that you're struggling to just be positive about your job when you're not even complaining about the catamaran. Because most housewives are like, what the fuck? What is this? A pontoon?
Yeah, it took, I mean, Vanderpump Rules, I mean, there was that pontoon. They finally got up to catamaran from pontoon status. It took a while. And they also had like weird booze cruise pirate ship at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Catamaran means you've not quite arrived yet on Bravo.
Well, this is immediately worrisome because it's a boat and it's Bravo. And this just never ends well. And so then, which by the way, is kind of a sad thing about this show. It's a bad omen for this show that this one wasn't so bad. Like, the boat was fine. It's like, oh my God, they're going on a boat ride. And it's like, oh, everything's fine. And that worried me for this show because things should not be fine on a boat ride, you guys. You're not doing it right.
Never. So they're getting on the boat and everything. And Chanel tells us, well, of course I've been on a boat. I am Somali. We are the best pirates since the 1800s. But I've never been in the deep ocean. You know what? Why would I go in there? There's Jean. You know what Jean is, right? They are people that we cannot see that live there, and they talk to you, they look at the water, and then you fall in love with them, and then they grab you in there, and either they kill you or fuck you. And I'm not planning to get killed or fucked today. So basically, you know, those are things I cannot see. Okay, no gins for me.
Okay, well, there's one reason. Anybody else have a reason they don't want to go in the water? So then Brooks. So, no, I don't think anything is gonna beat that one. I don't want to get fucked or killed today, so I'm not going to go in there. So So they're giving a toast about how much they love open hearts and stuff like that. And then Brooks is talking to Ayan, and she's like, the Talene I see now is not the Talene I've known for 8 years. I don't even know who that person is. I don't even know who it is. And Chanel's like, well, here's what I hear. She's hurt. You're hurt. The water wants to stick its penis inside of me. Oh, my God. Leave me alone. I'm coming.
She immediately falls for the gin.
One thing I'm not going to do on this trip is fall for the gin. God, I'm turned on right now. Why?
Something invisible in the water wants to fuck me, and I'm so horny for it.
So Brooks is like, I don't know if I'm ready to have this conversation. I'm too hurt. I'm just going to bring it up, and every time the camera's on me, I'm just going to keep bringing it up every single time.
And yeah, she's like, you know, Ion is on a mission to try to be the healer, the guru. I don't know if she sipped the Bali seawater, which Sarah told me is a healing water, okay? And like, she thinks she's Gandhi, which is Gandhi, of course, is not based in Indonesia, but in India. But regardless, today's not the day that I feel like it's appropriate to talk to Salim. When I feel like I'm ready to talk to my friend Ion, I will talk to her.
So then Stanbury and Brooks sit around together, and she's like, I know you miss me, Stanbury. She goes, yes.
Well, what I chose to do was more so just disengage, because maybe that wasn't the right answer, but that's what I was advised to do in my healing. So what's, I'm healing, okay? She goes, I love you, darling, but you're on a spiritual healing journey. I'm dead, right? This is not, what is this, spiritual healing?
Has Brooks just been watching Salt Lake City? But she's saying that she disengaged and is on a healing journey all in the same sentence. She's just taking the greatest hits from that show.
Yeah. She's like, you know what that girl needs is back it up. The girl really needs to back it up. Right? She's got a vagina. She's got a vagina like a Holland Tunnel, you know, which is in Indonesia. I'm not stupid. Wow.
Let me tell you something about my healing journey. It's going really well. And if you don't believe me, I've got receipts, proof. Timeline screenshots. So Stanbury is basically like, no, you're not on a healing journey, you're just on a stupid journey, you're a journey of stupidity right now. I'm dead at the entire idea of it. She goes, no, shut the fuck up, you're being a shit. But you're very prickly. I actually gave up on you, okay? Oh, so you think the healing made me worse? No, well, you know, you used to be so forthright. Everyone knew exactly where they stood with you, or even if they had to stand a little bit lower because the toilet in your glass house. But now Sarah talks for you, so it's like you're the president and we have to go through a third person, and just made it a lot worse. Not Sergio worse, but pretty worse. And I think you need to stop the healing. You were better before, like me when I was single.
Yeah, and so Stanbury is basically like, you know, all this chick is doing with her healing is traumatizing everybody else. Like, I don't know how that's healing, you know? She's like, yeah. I mean, all she's really doing is deflecting. And it's true, and it's what I always say, like, some people I think therapy is really good for, and some people should not even be allowed into therapy because it's just a lesson in manipulation. It's just a lesson to use words as a weapon against people. It's like, oh, they don't like when I'm yelling? Okay, instead of calling them all names, I'll figure out different ways to passive-aggressively treat everybody like shit, you know? And right. I think people like Brooks totally use it like that. And so Stamber is like, I mean, come on, did you really fly on a private jet, Brooks? She goes, yes, I did. And who's funding that? She's like, don't go there, Stambury. Do not go there. Do not go there.
Well, you can't even be that good in bed. You know, what does that good in bed even look like for you? Because, you know, it's a secret. I'm not going to give you the blueprint unless you're divorced. Okay, well, I don't want the blueprint. Last time I used the blueprint, I was stuck in Michael's house for 3 years with a man baby.
I like my 28-year-old without a plane. Thank you. And so now we cut to people swimming in the water, and Talene's like, I'm having fun with Brooks today because I want to enjoy this trip as much as I – oh, sorry. I was being Brooks. I want to enjoy this trip as much as I can because, I mean, when am I going to be in Bali again with Brooks? And you know what? I do want to enjoy it with Brooks. I do. Brooks, can I borrow that bathing suit top? Bitch.
So then there's just like more silliness, the swimming and fun and everything like that. And then like Chanel is telling us like, oh, a few days ago, the most juiciest voice note landed in my WhatsApp. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to share this. And then we see a flashback of Chanel with Talene and Stanbury, and she plays the voice note from Sarah. And Sarah's voice note says, even if I'm not a Brooks fan, I will still not stand for that. And that is true. But babe, you know I'm not your biggest fan as well, right?
Dun, dun, dun. Wait, Sarah says Brooks is amazing and she never sees any bad. And finally she's seeing it, but now she won't admit it. Ding, ding, ding. Starts rubbing her invisible goatee. And so now it's dinner time. And Sarah's like, okay, well, tomorrow is the spirituality and pray part, all right? Is everybody ready to open your heart to me, baby?
Are we going to set an intention to listen to Madonna? And Brooks is like, well, on the topic of healing, today I'm the catamaran. Caroline told me she feels as though the healing part is odd to her. And Sarah's like, oh, so you like the old Caroline Brooks more? The season one version? Really?
And Lisa's like, why would you want your friend to be in a toxic space? Why do you think she shouldn't be healed? Yes, that's what she's saying, everybody. she's saying that she shouldn't be healed. That's exactly what she's saying. So she's like, I didn't say she shouldn't be healed. I said that when she speaks to me, I understand her language. But the language she's speaking to me now, we don't. And she's like, oh, put an effort to get to know the new her, maybe. How about that? Maybe you should open your heart to the new intention. That is my intention, friend. All right. And after her experience with hearing her, maybe she's healing with her traumas, and you should learn the healed, the traumaless Brooks. Try that.
You know, I was talking for her, and Sarah goes, I'm not talking for her. I'm just explaining. For instance, wait, hold on 1 second. Could someone please pass the water for Brooks? She's thirsty right now. Please, quickly. She's parched.
It's like, you're doing it right now. She goes, well, if I defend Brooks when you speak about her, and if she's not there, or when she's there and she can't get the words out right and I help her, or if she's in line at the ice cream place calling someone dirty names and I tell her to concentrate on the ice cream flavors, I mean, it's just because I'm there. And that's what I do. It's called ice cream ordering when you're friends with somebody whose heart is open to you.
And then Saba chimes in and she goes, and the reason why you have such issue with Brooks being close to Sarah, and Sarah speaking to Brooks, by the way, she doesn't speak for her. It's called being there for your friend, the way that I'm sure Sarah will always be there for me when I'm in need.
You gotta love Saba coming in the speaking for other people fight to speak for Sarah. Like, Sarah can't do it on her own. And Stanbury is like, well, since we're being so honest, if Sarah really was such a good friend, she needs to have accountability. That voice note you played us, for example. So I was like, damn. I mean, this is totally throwing Chanel under the bus, which we find out in a second. But why should everybody else get to deflect? Now they're going to make this whole thing. Brooks gets to show up late and make the whole thing about poor Brooks maybe not being okay. She still didn't have to account for the party behavior. And now she's made it all about, oh, Caroline doesn't want me to have good mental health, everybody. Now they're coming to Caroline. She's like, fuck you. You're not the only one who can switch the conversation.
And Brooks is like, well, what voice note? And Tony's, oh, we're going there. And Chanel's like, oh, you can, okay, you want to go there? Great. I'm like, Chanel, don't act surprised. You guys were literally hatching this plan this afternoon on the catamaran. She's like, I cannot wait till I play the voice note at dinner tonight. And now she's like, oh, so we're going to go there? Okay, fine. And so Stanbury says, there's so much hypocrisy in this group. Sarah's saying she's completely healed, an amazing person, and you want to call me out. I'm going to call you out for your behavior. Let's all sing from the same handbook here, shall we? So then Sarah's like, well, what voice note are you even talking about? So now Chanel's like, okay, well, I played a voice note of you saying basically that Brooks needed to take accountability or something like that. And Lisa goes, what? The voice note that I sent you? Because we at this point did not realize that Lisa was being messy by sending it to Chanel initially.
Yes, and now we finally find out the reason for the Chanel and Lisa rift, because we've known it's coming all season, but we haven't really known why. And so it turns out it is a voice note betrayal. And she's like, yes, I'm sorry, I did play it. And she goes, oh, that is messy. And she's like, I'm sorry, Lisa, I put you in a bad situation. And she's like, that's fucked up, because I sent that to you privately just to ask you if she said what I thought she said. No, you were messy first. But I think you're allowed to be messy with your best friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Like, you're totally allowed to be like, oh my God, look at Sarah saying this, right?
Yeah, I mean, so, Lisa was the one who betrayed Sarah. So part of me is like, you don't really get to be mad, but you do get to be mad because that's your best friend.
Yeah, so Chanel's like, I'm sorry. But Lisa's like, well, now all trust is gone. I cannot trust you now. I cannot trust you. And now it says, to be continued.
So, yeah, and this is so much worse, because not only is it a betrayal, but she just handed Stanbury, Lisa's mortal enemy, the ammunition. And so it's like a double stab in the back.
Yeah.
Shame.
We'll have to see how it plays out next week. But, you know,
fun. What episode. An absolute shame. Yeah. Well, we'll be back next week with more Dubai. In the meantime, go check out Dwell Hello. That's new this week, which is our House Hunters recap over on Wondery Plus, and our videos and bonus episodes for Love Island over on Patreon. We love you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.